The word hope is a wonderful word in the Bible. In fact, the word hope is used a number of times in this series I'm preaching on, Rejoicing in Hope. That is that God has some things that we can rejoice over as believers. If you were to study the scriptures on the topic of hope, you would find that there are four different kinds of hope in the Bible. Number one, there is the kind of hope called experiential hope. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and look at verses 3 through 5. Experiential hope is optimism in my current circumstance because of what I have experienced God doing in other past circumstances. And so as I look back over my lifetime and I see God's work in my life and I see God's promises kept to me and I see God's answers to prayer and I face life's current situations that might trouble me, that might cause me to fear, I have experiential hope. Look at Romans chapter 5 and begin with me in verse number 3. The Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So trials, tough times, work patience, or they work endurance in our lives. And let's read on. And patience worketh or brings about experience, and experience brings about hope. Hope. Do you ever really think about this? That whatever you're going through in your life right now, one of the things that God's trying to develop in you is hope. Why? Because you're going to go through something else down the road. And when you see God work in your current situation, you have and you develop what I call and what the Bible describes here as experiential hope. Experience brings hope. When I go through something and I endure through something that's difficult and God works in it and God works in me through it and God develops me and I come out of it and I see God brought me through it, oh, I have hope for the next thing that I'm going to face in life. Hope that is based on experience. Secondly, is an unshakable hope. As we're looking at different kinds of hope by way of introduction this morning, I want you to see an unshakable hope. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19. Unshakable hope is a hope that provides a solid anchor, securely fastened for the strongest storms that life presents to us. The songwriter wrote in the song Solid Rock, which is a hymn in our hymn book, "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale," the songwriter writes, "my anchor holds within the veil." In Hebrews chapter 6, it describes that hope, Jesus Christ, as an unshakable hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Or in other words, in every storm that life presents, we have an unshakable hope in Jesus Christ. By the way, he's not only unshakable, he's unchangeable. And so in every storm, he's the same Jesus that was with us in the last storm. He's not more weary than he was in the last storm that we went through. He's not less powerful than he was in the last storm that we went through. He's not less caring than he was in the last storm that we went through. He's unshakable and he's unchangeable in every storm. We have the unshakable hope. There's a third kind of hope in the Bible in Titus chapter 2. It's the blessed hope. This is the absolute guarantee that Jesus is coming again. And things will be wonderful when we are raptured with him, those that are saved, to be with him in heaven. In fact, Titus writes that wonderful verse in Titus 2:13 as an encouragement to believers where he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessed hope to look forward to. There's a hope also, there's a fourth hope. And this hope reflects the personal desires of our heart. Sometimes they're personal desires, and sometimes they are spiritual desires. The Bible would call this type of hope the desires of your heart. I will deal with this kind of hope at the end of the message. But the truth of the message today that I want to get across to you is this truth, that God is worthy of you placing your hope in Him. Let me say it again, simple truth this morning. But God is worthy of you placing your hope in Him. If you study the word hope, you'll find that it's very closely associated with the word trust and with the word wait in Scripture. Ooh, those seem like maybe two harder words to put into practice than the word hope. But we'll find that the word hope and trust in the New Testament passages, that they are almost interchangeable. When somebody says they are hoping in something in the New Testament, they are trusting in someone or they're trusting in something. The devil persuaded Eve that God was essentially untrustworthy, and that life with God would be miserable. Don't let him play the same card on you. God is worthy of you putting your hope in him. The tension we experience in our individual lives, hear this closely, is the gap between our prayers and our circumstances. We could call it unanswered prayer. We could say, you know what? I trust God, but I'm praying to God on this matter, and I'm not seeing God answer like I thought He was going to answer, or I know Him to answer. Did you know that the word hope is also associated with the word wait? Looking for that blessed hope. Has that blessed hope happened yet? No, it's still to come. We're still waiting, aren't we? Hope has a lot to do with waiting. I want to give you something about hope and waiting this morning. And I want you to see a very important truth that God gives us in the Scriptures. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25. And look at verses 2 and 3 with me. One of the things that the psalmist prayed in the Psalms, was he prayed this prayer, Lord, I brought something before you, and Lord, you've chosen not to answer yet. And so, Lord, I'm going to plead with you on letting me not be ashamed. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, I'm bringing to you the only one that can do something about what is my burden or my concern of my heart. And Lord, you've chosen not to do anything about it. Lord, I'm coming back again, and I'm praying, and I'm asking you this time to do something so that I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of praying and not receiving. I'm not ashamed of having to tell somebody, you know, I've taken that before the Lord, and the Lord hasn't answered it in the way that I see fit. Look at verse number 2 of Psalm 25. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee or hope in thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. In other words, Lord, we're going to put our trust in you, but Lord, let us not be ashamed because we put our trust and our hope and our waiting in you. Lord, would you look at that and would you do something so that we're not ashamed. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, as we study the subject of hope this morning and the choice of hope. I'm preaching on that thought, the choice of hope. In Psalm chapter 69, verse number 6, the Bible says, let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. The psalmist is praying on for others in this passage. He's praying for others to be delivered. They have not yet been delivered, and the psalmist is pleading, Lord, would you do something so I'm not ashamed, so that they're not ashamed for my name's sake. I told them, God, you'll intervene. God, you'll deliver. Lord, let me be not ashamed for what I've told them. I'm asking you this question this morning. Are you waiting on God about something? God says, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. I want you to turn over in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. You may need this truth right here in your life this morning. You know, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But I want to remind you, he only had about 6 months of public ministry in his whole life. You know what much of his life was about? Waiting. Waiting. I want you to know Jesus waited at 12. He astounded people in Jerusalem. And then he had 18 silent years before his ministry began at 30. You know what much of Christ's earthly life was about? Waiting. Waiting. You know, Joseph waited in God's quiver after wonderful dreams that God had given him. That he would be ruler. That God would bless him as a fruitful boat. Lots of promises and dreams. But you know what Joseph spent a lot of time doing? Waiting. I want to remind you this morning that anybody that God uses, they have to go through the process of waiting. Isaiah 49, verse number 23, the Bible says, "And the kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be," what? "Ashamed, that," what? "Wait for me." Those that wait on God, God gives a promise here. He goes, "I want you to know that I am the Lord, and if you wait on me," mark it down, "you will not be ashamed that you have waited on me." I think that's an important principle because I think many times in our Christian lives we get discouraged in our prayer time, and we get discouraged over prayer requests that we don't see answered right away, and sometimes we're tempted to give up, and sometimes God's just saying, "Wait, make a choice to continually hope in me," which is what our text says in Psalm chapter 74, verse number 14. It says, "But I will continually hope in you." Hope, my friend, is a choice. It's a choice. Turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, look at verse number 5. Hope's connected to trust. Hope's connected to waiting. And hope is a choice. In Psalm 42, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Anybody been cast down before? Cast down means to be dejected. Means to be discouraged. Means to have the blues, so to speak. Psalmist was there. You know, even upbeat people get cast down. Everybody faces days where they're a little bit cast down. The psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to himself. What in the world? What's wrong with me? "And why art thou disquieted in me?" Why is my soul not at peace? Why is there trouble? Why do I feel like I'm still searching for something in life or something in the Christian life? Why is there not a peace and a rest in my soul, he says. And then he speaks to himself this phrase, "Hope thou in God." I'm cast down. I'm disquieted. He doesn't even know why. He can't even put his finger on why that's the case. But then he gives himself some instruction. Boy, sometimes we need to speak to ourselves, and we need to speak to ourselves the words of God to help us when we're cast down. And here's his instruction to himself and his instruction to us. "Hope thou in God." What's that mean, preacher? That means wait on God. That means trust in God. That means turn my eyes back on God. He says, this is the instruction. This is my choice. You see, you have a choice when you're cast down. You can hope in God, or you cannot hope in God. The psalmist here was bringing himself, kind of pulling his emotions along in the direction of truth, in the direction of God, and says, "Hey, buddy, you got to go this way. And the way is you've got to make a choice to continually hope in God." And so he says that in Psalm 42. "When suffering is present, hope in God." What is a hope booster in your life in this passage? Verse 5, the hope booster is praise. Do you see that? Hope thou in God, I will yet praise Him more and more. So if you're having trouble with hope, you're having trouble with, man, life can't get any darker. My soul is disquieted. I'm cast down. My spirit is overwhelmed. Wait, speak to yourself. Hope thou in God, and I will yet praise Him more and more. What's going to boost my hope if my hope is low is to make a choice to praise Him. The psalmist said, hope thou in God. That was him giving instruction to himself. And then he made a decision behind it. I will praise Him more and more. If your hope is low, so is your praise. Let me say that again. If your hope in God is low, so is your praise in God. So you want to boost your hope? What do? You make a commitment to praise Him more. You make a commitment to learn the names of God and review the names of God and what they mean. You make a commitment to study all that God is to you in the Psalms and build a biography of God. And what does all that do? It boosts hope. Now, what is hope's adversary then? If praise is hope's booster, then what is hope's adversary in my life? Complaining. What does complaining do? It mulls over everything that I don't have. Oh, poor me. The psalmist was overwhelmed. The psalmist was disquieted. The psalmist here in this passage said, man, I'm cast down. I can't figure out what's going on. Ah, hope thou in God, and I will yet praise Him the more. Look at Psalm 42, verse number 11. Psalm 42, verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The psalmist had to remind himself that God is not just a God, but God is my God. He had to remind himself, if his hope was going to grow, that the God that created the universe, by the words of His mouth, spoke it, let there be light, and there was light, is my God. He's the health of my countenance. The psalmist says, I will yet praise Him. Look at Psalm 43, verse number 5. Psalm 43 and verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? What's he go through again? He goes through the same thing. You know what I find out about this choice? It has to be a repetitive choice. Here the psalmist says it in verse number 5 of Psalm 42. Hey, I'm cast down. My soul's disquieted within me. Here's the instruction. Hope thou in God. I will yet praise Him the more. He's the health of my countenance and my God. We get to Psalm 42 and verse number 11. And what's going on again? He's saying the same thing to himself again. We get to Psalm 43 and verse number 5. What's going on in Psalm 43 and verse number 5? He's coming back to the same truths. You know what? Your hope in God, something that you can rejoice in, has to be a continual choice. A daily choice. Wonder if you've lost hope. Wonder if the last couple of days, the last couple of months, you've been cast down. You've been disquieted. Things going on in here. Trouble. You're not at rest. You're not at peace. You're searching. You're not satisfied. Don't know why. Hard to put your finger on it. Here's the instruction from the psalmist this morning. Hope in your God. And do it on a continual basis. The choice of hope is a continual choice. It's a courageous choice. It's a courageous choice. Turn to Psalm 31. Psalm chapter 31. As we look at the choice of hope this morning. Remember, as I describe hope, hope is a desire that's met with an expectation that that desire is going to be fulfilled. So when we're looking at this word in the Scriptures, we're looking at something that has a desire, and then it has an expectation that that desire is going to be fulfilled. In Psalm 31, verse number 24, the Bible starts out by saying this: be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Hope needs courage with it. It wasn't good enough just to hope. Here he says, be of good courage. You're hoping in the Lord. There's trust, but be of good courage, because what happens? Our hope often fluctuates. And when it does, what weakens? Our heart. Our heart towards God. Our faith towards God. Sometimes our love towards God. That weakens. And so the Bible says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Stay with that hope that you have in God and be of good courage in it. So, this choice of hope is a continual hope. It's also a courageous hope. The choice of hope, number one. Number two, the causes of hope, or the causes for hope. In Psalm 119:81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. So one of the things that you can go to and find hope, that is, you have a desire for a spiritual need to be met in your life, you can go to the Scriptures, you can go to the Word of God, and you can find hope there. You can find a desire that's met with an expectation from the Word of God. By the way, the best places to go for this are the promises of God in the Scripture. The psalmist said this: my soul fainted for thy salvation. My, I needed deliverance from this situation. And he says, but I will hope in thy word, or I hope in thy word. There's a hope in his word. Number two, there's a hope in his mercy. Mercy is a reason for you to have hope. Turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, some great truths and some great applications under this particular truth in the message. Psalm 33, and I want you to look at verse number 18. The Bible says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. That is, it is okay for a believer to put hope in God's mercy. Ooh, do you ever need mercy in your life? I need mercy. I need God to not deal with me like he could deal with me. Verse number 19 says, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Now, truth of the matter is, do you or me have any right for our soul to be delivered from death? No. Brethren, we have no rights. May I remind you about life? We have no rights. We don't deserve anything. We have no way of looking at God and saying, God, you didn't do this for me, and I think I deserved it. No, we don't have any of that. Second thing they prayed for is for them to keep them alive in the famine. Question, do we deserve to be kept alive in a famine? The answer is no. No, and the psalmist was writing from that perspective. And he was saying this: Lord, we don't deserve any of these things, but Lord, we just hope in your mercy. We have a desire, Lord, that you would show us mercy in these situations that, Lord, we don't deserve. But Lord, we know you're a merciful God. The Bible says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You know what I find throughout the Scriptures? God tends to be merciful to those who love, fear, and obey him. I find that in the Scriptures. I find in Nehemiah, it says in verse 5 of chapter 1, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. You know what else I find? I find that he shows mercy to those that confess and forsake sin. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, watch this, shall have mercy. I don't know if you've thought like I've thought. I've thought this way. I've committed a sin. I'm not proud of that sin in whatever manner. I know that sin brings judgment. I know that's the pattern throughout Scripture. And I confess that sin. And then I say, Lord, you do whatever you have to do to teach me about this, but Lord, would you show me mercy that I wouldn't face all the consequences that you would have me face? And whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. Parents, you ever look at your past and say, boy, if God pours out his judgment on kids because my kids on the way I have lived, oh my. Lord, please show mercy. You know what? God shows mercy. And mercy, you can hope in mercy. God is a merciful God. Here's what the psalmist prayed. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Hey, Christian, can I make an application here? You have things that the devil's taken you back to in your past? Regretful decisions. Tormenting, torturous guilt over things that have been done in your past. You know what the psalmist prayed? Remember not the sins of my youth, Lord. Please, Lord, please, I'm asking for your mercy. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Lord, remember, Lord, don't remember all the bad stuff I've done. Boy, it's the mercy of God when he forgives us of that and puts it far in the sea, never to be remembered again. His mercy, my friend, mercy is a wonderful thing to hope in, to place your hope in. Hope and strength. Hope and his strength. In Psalm 31, you may be there. If not, go back there. Psalm 31 and verse number 22. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. Boy, the psalmist is weak here spiritually. The psalmist feels like he's been rejected from God. He's been involved in some things that are not pleasing to the Lord, and he feels like he's cut off altogether. In fact, in verse number 22, he says, I said this in haste, but I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Could be here, you're here this morning and you're backslidden. You feel like you've been cut off. You know you've lived your life against the Lord and out of his will for a period of time. And you feel like you're a million miles away from God. And the psalmist writes, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. You know, a backslider needs a heart that's strengthened. He needs to be of good courage to come back to the Lord and be restored. And here there is strength that God promises. Put hope in God's strength. If you have left the paths of uprightness, listen, young people, if you're involved in some things that you know it's been wrong, you know it's not right before the Lord, listen, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Cry out to the Lord as the psalmist did in verse 22. And say, Lord, I feel like you've cut me off. I said it in haste, Lord, but I'm coming to you. And Lord, it takes courage to come to you and lay these things before you that I've been involved in. But God, they're wrong. And God, I want to be forgiven. And God, I want a restored relationship with you. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Then there's a hope in Christ. Hope in Christ. That's a cause for hope. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted. It's the word hope. It's the interchangeable word. Remember in the New Testament, hope and trust? For those who put their hope in the Lord. Listen, every time a sinner comes to Christ, he's coming without any hope for eternity. But he's coming to the one that gives hope, and that's Jesus. And he puts his hope and he puts his trust in God and he's saved in that moment. My, that's a wonderful truth. If you've not been saved, put your hope in Christ today. Lastly, I want to talk about the crash of hope. The crash. The choice of hope, the causes of hope, the crash of hope. Proverbs 13 and verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 12. You ever had a hope crash? Proverbs 13, 12 it's a reality of life. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That is a hope that is dashed. A hope that is crushed maketh the heart sick. Deferred hope can look like many things. Could look like not getting the job you applied for. It could look like a miscarriage in your life. It could look like a relationship that looked to be going towards marriage and then all of a sudden crashed. It could look like a health problem that there's no answer for. It could look like a marriage relationship that seems to be getting worse. When your desire and your expectation is on these fronts, none of what you're seeing. My friend, people deal with hopes that are deferred or a hope that crashes. They happen in the realm of personal desires and they happen in the realm of spiritual desires. For instance, when we look at David in the Old Testament, David had a spiritual desire. His spiritual desire was to build the temple for the Lord. You remember that? And what ended up happening? God said, no, you're not going to do that. Wait a second. God, this is something that you want. God, you want a temple. Yes, but you're not going to be the one that does it. Your son's going to be the one that does it, Solomon. Lord, I don't understand this. This is your will that your temple be built. He had a spiritual desire. But watch this. It wasn't met. That's real hard to deal with. I don't know if you've had any of those in your life, but that's real hard to deal with. When you have a spiritual desire and it's not met. When you have a desire for someone to come to Christ and you're praying and you know it's not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance and that person's not open to Christ, closed to the gospel, hope deferred, maketh the heart sick. There are also personal desires. For example, Abraham and a child. And that came through, but not for a long time. A long time. In fact, if it were me or you and we were waiting for a child for 35 years, we would have probably given up the hope. Was there anything wrong with that desire? It's a personal desire? Good desire? Personal desire, possibly someone would just like to be married. Is that a wrong desire? No, but hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Any kind of personal thing someone wants has the potential to crash as a hope. For young people, hope is deferred when you're not allowed to get your license, when you're legally allowed, or you want a privilege that mom and dad won't give, or a freedom. And hope is deferred. Sometimes people want to do something for the Lord, and the doors don't open for that to happen. And hope is deferred. The dictionary defines hope as the act of looking forward with desire and reasonable confidence. When hope is deferred, the old reservoir of your hope tank is running on fumes. And your heart is sick. And brethren, real people go through hopes that are deferred. Someone defined hope as the belief that tomorrow will be better than today, but that's not always the case. That's not always the reality. When we are speaking of hope deferred, we are often speaking of unfulfilled expectations. And I want you to understand some things about that as I close this message this morning. Unfulfilled expectations are one of the most difficult things to deal with in life. We crash and we burn emotionally when hope is shattered. Oftentimes, it takes us a long time to recover from when a hope is crashed. You want it so much. You desire it. Others have it. Why can't you? You're asking, you're not asking for much, are you? You just want what somebody else enjoys. They take it for granted. You don't. You treasure it. It's precious to you, but it's not yours. No matter how much you pray for it, you can't have it. No matter how much you work for it, you can't achieve it. No matter how much you value it, you can't take it home and make it yours. It makes your heart sick. Those are Bible words. Discouragement, despair, absence of joy. Nothing seems to give you pleasure because you have a desire or some desires that are not being fulfilled. Maybe spiritual. Could be personal. A friend tries to get your mind off your pain, put a smile on your face, only as long as they sustain the effort, and then your mind runs back to the hope that's crashed in your mind. Hope deferred can be a paralyzing force in life. Hope deferred will often lead us to depression and can turn us away from prayer. You've prayed for your greatest desires. You've asked God. You now have to trust Him with that. You have to surrender it. Sometimes waiting means surrendering. While we have surrendered those desires for safekeeping, there's still a call upon us as followers of Christ to be faithful. I want to talk about the dangers of a hope that's deferred. I'm going to use a personal illustration to do that. One that I'm not proud of, but I think may be helpful. In college, I was wanting to have the opportunity in my junior year to be a resident assistant in our college dorm. It was a strong desire, and I really thought that I had the potential of getting it. I interviewed for it. I applied for it. And then I found out I was not selected for the job. It would help me financially. It would give me the opportunity to minister to other young people on my floor, young men. It would allow me to spend more time with the school's leadership. It would deliver me from having to scrub pots and pans day and night in the kitchen. I had my hopes up that they would pick me. Guess what? They didn't. It sunk my ship. It was a hope deferred. I didn't even want to go back to school the next year because I wasn't selected. I got jealous of a friend who was picked over me. And that seed in my heart began to develop, which I'm not proud of today. I'm just saying when a hope's deferred, you're in dangerous territory. Your heart's sick. When your heart's sick, there's a lot of things that can take over your heart. I got mad at the leadership. I talked to others so they would be persuaded that I was the right person that they didn't pick. Boy, I found out there were a lot of rotten things in my heart that came out when my hope was crushed. I became discouraged. Hope deferred provides an opportunity for a spiritual infection. Let me say this. Germs get in through wounds. And whenever you've lived with a hope that's been deferred, it's been crushed, it's crashed, you got a wound. Whenever you have a wound, you have potential germs. that get in the wound. You know, doctors are more concerned about infection than splitting your sternum open. They're more concerned about infection that gets in your body, because infection's a serious thing. Hopes that are deferred can be like a cut in a person's spirit. And if they are not careful, an infection of temptation can slip in to that wound. Now, brethren, this is real life, and real people go through what I'm talking about right now. The crash of a hope. There are great dangers. You need to understand there are great dangers. You need to keep your heart, if you are dealing with a hope deferred in your life right now, you're a young person, you're an adult, you're a grown man, wherever you're at in life, you need to understand that if you are dealing with a hope deferred, you need to keep your heart with all diligence. Right now in your life, it is very important that you keep your heart, that your heart's feeding on the right things, because there's a wound and germs get in at the wound. So I want to give you some direction if you're dealing with a crashed hope this morning. Number one, let it be a teacher. Control your desires and curb your expectations. In our lives, we have to control our desires and we have to curb our expectations. What is a lust? A lust is an out of control desire. And brethren, in this situation that I illustrated, I got my heart so set on one thing that had to happen in life. And when it didn't happen, my life fell apart. You know what? Hope deferred is a great teacher, because it reminds us, hold on to things lightly. Hold on to desires lightly in your life. It'll help you. When they're not fulfilled, it'll help you. Learn to control your desires. Matthew Henry said this, "It is therefore our wisdom not to promise ourselves any great matters from the creature, not to feed ourselves with any vain hopes from this world, lest we lay up matter for our own vexation. And what we do hope for, let us prepare to be disappointed in, that if it should prove so, so it may prove the easier, and let us not be hasty." Good advice. Good advice. Don't get a strong desire over something that's going to be provided by mankind or the world or something that you can see. Be careful. Be careful. The direction for hope, when hope is deferred, control your desires and curb your expectations. Number two, reset your expectation in God. Reset your expectation in God. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 62. I'm almost done. Psalm 62, verse number 5. Here's what we have to remind ourselves when it comes to spiritual and personal desires. Just because they're a desire doesn't mean that God's going to fill the expectation. Just because we have it as a desire doesn't mean that God's going to fill every expectation. We have to understand that. Here in Psalm 62, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." We understand God sees things differently than we do. He teaches, He guides, He lovingly disciplines us. The thing we are hoping for may have too much desire in it, that it's taking away our desire for God Himself. When I say reset your expectation in God, here's what I'm saying. Reset your desire and expectation that what is most important in my life is not the current desire, but my desire for God Himself. That's what God wants in our lives. If you're dealing with a hope that's crushed, then this morning you need to make a decision to reset your expectation in God. And say this to God: "God, you mean more to me than anything that else that I desire. So Lord, if I don't have what I desire, Lord, having you is enough and more than enough." that I have you. Refocus on God's promises. God's promises many times are greater benefits to us than what we desire with our eyes. I was with Bill working here the other night. We were visiting him in the hospital or in the rehab, and Bill's waiting on his results from his cancer treatment, and really just, it's a struggle. But we talked, and one of the things I shared with Bill, and he fed back on, was that what he has in God is more than what somebody else has in good health. The thing that he desires, of course, is to have good health, right? But what if God doesn't fulfill that desire? Has God already given us enough? Oh, God's given us benefits that far exceed good health, my friend. That far exceed having a child. That far exceed a job. God's given us benefits like, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God's given us perfect peace. That's far more than good health. God's given us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's given us his presence, far more important than a desire that I have in my life for God to fulfill. God's given me eternal life. This is the record that God has given me eternal life, far more than the desire that seems to have captivated me. And so what do I need to do? I need to reset my expectation in God. And I need to refocus on God's promises. I need to recommit to him to praise him yet the more. Well, preacher, he hasn't answered this request. Do you not have something else to praise him for? Isn't there plenty to praise God about? I will continue to hope and I will praise him yet the more. I'll remain faithful to him. And I'll remember that God gives life in barren places. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Notice he didn't create the garden. He planted the garden. He cared for the garden. God creates light, animals, vegetation, man. But he planted a garden. Why did God plant a garden? He takes a seed, carefully moves the dirt around the places, the seed in the ground, causes it to be watered, plants grow, and he takes pleasure in life. What am I saying? God gives life where there's barrenness. I said, preacher, I got a hope deferred right now. Some days I don't even want to wake up, let alone go and do what I'm supposed to do every day. Remember, God gives life in barren places. God's the planter of your life. God knows how to put the ingredients into it that you need right now to make your life flourish. And he can.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you. and God bless you.